Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Well, hello, hello, sports fans. How are you? I've missed you. It's been a while. It's good to be back in your company again. What have I got for you today? Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but...
It's spitting!
It is spitting, but that certainly hasn't stopped you all from putting on some spectacular sporting feats. I've got all sorts for you today. The latest football, hockey and rugby results, of course. Plus, an update on the Manx Rams, who are currently on day 3 of the Netball Europe Open Challenge in Gibraltar. A spot of athletics news as runners ready themselves for the marvellously muddy cross-country season ahead. And pickleball, what is it? I'm actually asking you, what is it? Well, Rob Pritchard will be along to tell you and me both more about it. So thank you very much for joining me. If I am missing any scores, as always, if you could do me a massive favour and text them in to me on 166 177, that would be greatly appreciated. We're going to start in hockey today, just to mix things up a bit. Before we come to Sam Spooner, who unfortunately isn't in the studio, but he's ready and waiting on the phone. Starting in the mixed prem, we have Valkyries B1, Backers A6, Vikings A6, Backers B6, Valkyries A3, Castletown Celts 2, and Ramsey A9, Vikings B1. In Division 1, Castletown Camogs 1, Vikings C2, Castletown Cushugs 2, Harlequins A9, Backers Colts 2, Ramsey Ravens 0. And I'm just waiting on the scores for Valkyries C versus Castletown Southerners, but Spoons might have that handy. We shall find out soon. In the mixed division 2, also waiting on the Vikings E versus Castletown Cosney score, but I can tell you Castletown Carrick 0, Backers C 1, Harlequins B 6, Ramsey Rookies 4, Vikings D 1, Valkyries D 0. And in the under-16s, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 1, Valkyries 3. Backers A 11, Castletown B 0, Harlequins 0, Backers B 6. And I'm missing the score for Vikings versus Castletown A. However, Sam Spooner might have it handy. So how are you today, Sam?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Ray.
Good.
Good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back. It feels like it's been ages. Managed to get rid of the reverb. I called Sam before and he was like, you sound very echoey, like you're in a tunnel somewhere. So managed to sort that out. Hopefully it doesn't sound like that at home still. But yes, let's talk about hockey rather than my tangents. Starting in the mixed prem, let's start with Valkyries B1, Backers A6.
Yeah, Valkyries B goal scorer was Alex Freer, but Backers A really turned up today, 6-0, 4-0 at half, 6-1, sorry, 4-0 at half-time. Pat Cox with 2, Elliot Reid, Sophie Howland, Louise Corkle and Chris Whiting all with 1 each. And although Backers A are desperate for other teams to beat Vikings A, there is going to be opportunities for them to maybe close the gap at the top of the table and put themselves back into that title fight. But a result like that today is a big boost to them.
Exciting game between Vikings A and Backers B. That was a draw 6-all.
6-0, sorry. It wasn't 6-0. A draw.
6-0, oh, Backers B, less exciting. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Tim Henderson with 3, Kim Carney, Brisha Foxton, and Neil Crowe popping up with an unusual goal as well. 3-0 half-time. That puts Vikings A in the driving seat. They're 2 points clear of the chase and pack. They've scored 25 goals and they've only conceded 2 so far this season. So they're having an incredible season. For anybody to beat them now is going to be really difficult. And they're really going to have to turn up when they play the likes of Valkyries A and Backers A.
Then we have Valkyries A 3, Castletown Celts snapping at their heels with 2.
Yeah, Castletown Celts will be buoyed by that performance. Okay, Castletown are in 5th place in the league. And Valkyries A sitting there in 2nd place, 2 points behind the leaders, Vikings A. But Castletown Celts, wow, what a performance. I don't think they really expected that. When they turned up today, 2-all at half-time. So it was a goal in the second half that won it for Valkyries A. Ollie Webster at 2, Rachel Lucas on the score sheet for the Westerners. And Castletown Celts was Matty Gorey and Andrew Wynne-Stanley.
And then another strong win for Ramsey this week. They beat Vikings B 9-1.
Yeah, I think Vikings A team are probably hoping that they could probably sort of do them a favour and reduce that chasing pack to 1. But Vikings B weren't able to do that today. Vikings B goal scorer is Dom Hubble, but Ramsey A, you know, in past seasons and even the start of this season, I would never have put them down as title challengers, when, especially after they lost the opening game to Vikings A. But they've put in some great performances since. Nat Smith with 5 goals. Jan Kane, Alex Neil, Julie Chesterton and John Gower Jackson scoring as well.
Moving on to the Mixed Division 1, we have your game to begin with. So Castletown Camogs 1, Vikings C 2.
Yeah, it was a really close game. It was 1-0 half-time score to Vikings C. Cameron Room again, putting a really, really good reverse shot. I don't have the Camogs goal scorer, but that was a really well-taken short corner routine. Put into the back post with by Don Stewart. And I can't tell you the goal scorer, but it was really well finished at the back post. And there's some serious pressure. But then Vikings C in the second half came back at it. Charlie Morris managed to get the winner. But Castletown Camogs, that's the best performance from them this season. I was talking to them after the game and they said they haven't had a game like that all year. Their personnel has been changed each week, depending on what the player availability in the Celts and Southerners have been. So this was probably their best performance of the season so far. And they almost walked away with a point, but their goal was disallowed in the end for being too hard from a short corner.
Ouch. Let's move on to Castletown Cushags. They lost to Harlequins A 9-2.
Yeah, Harlequins A turned up the style today. Cushags, they still sit in fifth place in the league. They're having a really good season. They're punching well above their weight this year. Daniel Cross and Daniel Oates for Cushags. And Harlequins A, it was Ronan Santamatolia with 3. Rachel Middleton with 2, Alfie Swales with 2, Amelia Lee and Oren Blakemore with 1 each. I haven't had the Valkyrie C goal score yet, but that probably puts them 2 points behind Valkyrie C and put themselves in a really good position for that title fight. I've just got the Camogs score through and it was Lucy Sutterby.
Excellent. I'm missing the scores for Valkyrie C versus Castletown Southerners. Don't suppose you've got it.
I've literally just received that now. 6-0 to Valkyrie C, which puts them back at the top of the league. 2 points clear of Harlequins, who they have beaten. So Harlequins are going to have to rely on another team taking points out of them. Chris Thomas with 2 and Dave Hall with 2. And Chris Thomas playing with his daughter Molly for the first time today as well. So really good result for Valkyrie C.
Oh, lovely. And then we have Bacchus Colts 2, Ramsey Ravens 0.
Yeah, again, Bacchus Colts have been really, really good this season. After that opening day draw against Vikings C, they've been flying high. So Bacchus Colts at the minute are 2-0. They won 2-0 against Ramsey Ravens. Luca Pallotta and Harry Kalen on the score sheet for Bacchus Colts.
Moving on to Div 2, I'm missing the score for Vikings E versus Castletown Cosney.
That's 0-0. Really well, really good draw for both sides, to be fair. Really played a great game, played in great spirits, and I had some really good reports of that game that despite being 0-0, it really was not boring at all.
Oh, good. Then we have Castletown Carrick versus Bacchus C. Bacchus C won that 1-0.
Yeah, Mike Flowers on the score sheet for Bacchus C. It's still my favourite hockey team in the Isle of Man, Bacchus C, I have to say. And it was a really, really good game for both sides today. Mike Flowers winning the game for Bacchus C.
Then we have Harlequins B6, Ramsey Rookies 4.
Return to form for Harlequins B after a tough couple of weeks, losing last week and then losing the week before as well. Ben Cunningham with 4 goals, David Smith and Callum Crellin on the score sheet for Harlequins B. Ramsey Rookies, Thomas Herdrick scored 3 and Dan Stevenson got the 4th for Ramsey Rookies. 3 all at half-time, so Harlequins B really turned on the side in the second half.
And then the final match in the Mixed Div 2, we have Vikings D 1, Valkyries D 0.
I never expected a 1-0 scoreline. I thought Vikings D would score. I expected, you know, sort of 4 or 5 goals between the two sides, given the personnel that Vikings D have. And, you know, but Donna Harrison's Valkyries D team, you can never underestimate them. They're such a determined side. You know, Graham Shimmin in the middle of the park there as well, rolling back the years. And Ed Chatterley and goals had an outstanding performance of Valkyries D. Vikings D, though, they did get the winner in the end through Ash Osborne, which puts them firmly in the driving seat.
Then in the mixed under-16s, we have Ramsey Rogues and Rascals 1, Valkyries 3.
Yeah, Alex Stewart with all 3 goals for Valkyries and Lily Bell on the score sheet for Ramsey Rogues and Rascals. At the minute, it doesn't really affect the league too much. Valkyries are sitting 4 points behind Harlequins and haven't had the score for Harlequins just yet, as it's a late game. But yeah, really good performance from both sides.
Then we have Bacchus A 11, Castletown B 0.
Yeah, 6-0 at half-time. Almost expected, really, being the Castletown B team are the the younger of the under-16s age group. So they'll have just stepped up from the under-13s. And Bakaze, they are the older of the under-16s group, and they've been playing in this league for a couple of years, so a bit more experienced. I don't have any goal scorers for Bakaze, but Bakaze are right in that title fight at the top of the table now.
And then I believe we had a close game between Vikings and Castletown. A Vikings won 2-1.
I don't have that score with me right now, but if that's the score, 2-1, really, really good result for Vikings. That puts them... Just let me put the numbers in on the spreadsheet.
I can tell you well.
Vikings.
Sorry, it puts
Vikings in second place there. So they're having a really, really good season there.
And I can tell you, thank you for texting in 397. The scorers for Vikings were Kyle Gunnian and Alex Andrew, and they said it was a good game played. So that's always nice to hear. And then I've got Harlequins 0, Backers B6. But did you say that scores shouldn't be in for that game yet?
I wouldn't have expected it to. I haven't had that score myself just yet. I haven't had that score line in just yet, but it should. I would imagine it's probably the other way round. Harlequin 6 and Backers B0.
Apologies. I'll just flip that around. Great. Well, thank you very much, Sam Spooner. Did you enjoy your game?
Yeah, it was good, to be fair. It's probably the quietest game I've had for a while. Didn't have to throw myself about as much as I have in the past. You know, the team's starting to come together, and Camax today gave us a really good game. And you know, if Camax can keep performing like that week in, week out, they'll be moving off the bottom of the table in no time.
Excellent stuff. Well, thank you very much for your time, Sam Spooner. Have a lovely evening.
Brill, thanks, Ray.
Bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
That's such a long jingle now, I can never get used to it. Tony Meppham has just flown into the studio and handed me some football results, so I shall tell you all about them now. Starting in the Prem, we have Ramsey 2, Air 3, Russian 8, Moran 1, Douglas Royal 4, Douglas High School Old Boys 2. We're missing the score for St George's Corinthians. Tony Meppham.
2-3. St George's 2, Corinthians 3. Right. Sorry.
And then we've got Peel 7, Ramsey U Centre 4. In Division 2, we've got Governors Athletic 4, Gyms 3. Michael 2, Castletown 4. Braddon 4, Pulrose 3. Onken 3, Maloo 1. Douglas and District 4, Foxdale 1, Douglas Athletic 0, St John's 7. In Combi 1, Air 1 and Ramsey 2, Moran 1, Russian 9, and Douglas High School Old Boys 7, Douglas Royal 0. Then in Combi 2, we have Gyms 5, Governors Athletic 3, Castletown 3, Michael 2, Pulrose 2, Braddon 1, and Foxdale 4, Douglas and District 5. So how are you, Tony Meppham?
Fine, thank you. It's just racing to get the scores finished. We'll be all right when we're 2 o'clock kick-off at the end of the month.
Yes,
but 2:30, it's a bit of a rush to get it through, and obviously one or two clubs trying to get through don't get through. We haven't got the scores, but I think we've got most of them now.
Excellent. Yes, I do think we've got most of them. So let's start in the Prem, shall we? Seemed to be a good game between Ramsey and Air. Ramsey 2, Air 3.
Yeah, it was. I'm not exactly sure how the scoring went, but from all accounts, I think Air took the lead through Sean Kelly. And then Ramsey equalised. I'm going to take a shot at it that it was Jason Crane. And then George Rawlinson put Air ahead 2-1, I think. And then Anthony Bale, well done, Anthony, got one back to make it 2-2. But then that good little goal scorer keeps popping up with the goals, as Danny Oram got the third goal for Air United, clinched the 3 points for them. But by the sound of it, a good battle between the two teams.
And then we have Russian 8, Moran 1.
Yeah, I didn't expect a score this size today. No Furu Davies for Russian, but Moran, I thought, much improved performance 7 days ago. But today it was Tom Redmond who got the goal for around in the second half. It was 4-0 to Russian at half time. Stevie Riding with 2 goals. And by all accounts, and blame fags if you want, one was from his right foot, which is a rarity. So well done, Stevie. Jordan Watterson got the first goal of the game. Adam Kuhl got one. Aaron Hawley got one. And I believe Adam also missed from the penalty spot. Jamie Cadwallader got a goal. And I think it was Luca Moretta got the other one. So a good result for Russian, and that keeps them top of the table. And this one I heard was 2-2 at one stage, I think. Chris Coxon and Robbie Ward got the goals for Douglas High School Old Boys. But for Douglas Royal, Andy Asbridge on the score sheet once again. Jamie Agnew got a goal. James Clark playing in the first team today. Well done, James. And Dom McCary Brennan got the other one. So a great result. And I'm pretty certain Douglas Royal's team are celebrating in the manor.
St George's 2, Corinthians 3.
And today it was Kieran McNulty who started the game off. He got the first one. Bit of a mistake at the back, and Pekka was there, and he had to hold his nerve to finish it off and got it in to make it 1-0. Then Josh Ridings got an equaliser. Josh with a shot, and I don't think Dave will mind. It looked as if Dave Cherry had got it covered, but he spilled it, went over the top of them, and it was 1-1. And then it was Kieran McNulty who got a second one, a good cross in. And Pekka, as he does, he's a problem right the way through the game. He's so good to make it 2. But then Phil Kelly scored one. I think the goalkeeper caught out again. And then right at the end, it was a good move between Josh Riding and Kane Riding. Josh played it to his brother Kane. Kane nipped it in, and Sammy Gellin actually booted it to the floor. Whether he meant that doesn't matter, because it caught the goalkeeper out and over the line it went. So St George's 2, Corinthians 3. How do I judge the game? I thought St George's defence looked pretty solid throughout. I thought Chris Walsh put in 2 or 3 last-ditch good tackles. Carl Clark as well. Johnny Myers is Johnny Myers. He does everything superbly. And I just thought in the second half, Corinthians had some really good chances and didn't finish them off, either good defending or some good goalkeeping. But they got the 3 points they needed, and St George's 2 defeats in 2 games.
And then we have Peel 7, Ramsey Youth Centre 4.
Yeah, and I believe Ramsey Youth Centre were leading this one 2-1 at one stage. But Tom Ward, 4 goals for him. I don't think Tom scores 4 very often. So well done, Tom. The beer's on you. Matthew Woods got a goal. Robert Owen got one. Jacob Robertshaw got a goal as well for Ramsey Youth Centre. Damien Woods got a goal. Ross Crawford as well. Graham Kinnish and Corey Cassidy got the other one.
Is that an expected result?
Yeah, I think so. 7-4, but I think you know, Peel look at it and say 4 conceded isn't up to their standards. But the important thing for Peel, that's 3 points on the board. That's their first 3 points, and it sort of lifts them now above Union Mills as well, because Union Mills were on -16. So now they're in 9th place, so they're looking a lot better. Peel aren't facing relegation as far as I'm concerned, and when you know, maybe come back in Lee Gale if FC Alaman haven't got a game, or if he's not playing. And Reece Oates, I work with Reece, and like Reece has had this big operation, and whether he's come back a little bit too early or whatever, and I believe he's going to play in the combination today, which is good. He's just got to nurture it. You know, he's a great player. You know, 3 years ago, he was the best player on the Isle of Man, and unfortunately, he's got that injury. And, you know, it's like everything else. He's a young lad, he wants to play football, but sometimes you just got to be a little bit patient. Manx Football wants to see people like Reece Oates play football. The Ireland squad, FC Alaman would like to have him, but I think he's just got to, you know, think of his health first, let it all mend properly. You've been there, I've been there, and then when it's all right, then come out all guns blazing.
Slow and steady wins the race and all that.
Exactly.
Or wins the football match. Moving on to Div 2, we have Governors Athletic 4, Gyms 3.
Yeah, I'd like to read the report out on this one, if I could find
Please
it.
Do.
I've got it a little bit, because let's face it, you look at Division 2 league table, Governors are at the bottom, 12th place, played 5, no points. And then they're playing against Gyms, who are 7th with 6 points. Well, today the goals finished up Governors 4, Gyms 3 full time. Governors goal scorers were Chris Carezis, I think it is, with 2, Diago Vicente with 1, and Ari Arajanaka got the other one. And it was 2-1 to Gyms at half-time. Governors came out and did what we threatened to do at the start of the season. Great football, lovely goals. Saw us take us a lead of 4-2. That's Governors. Gyms got a lovely goal to make it an interesting winner. Get in there. Absolutely delighted, over the moon for Gunners.
That's a good report.
You know, it is, because
More of those,
you know, it's it's not nice when you've been getting the defeats that they have and what, 14 against St John's, and then to turn a side over that was expected to beat you. It's something special for them, and well done to Governors. They do well. They do well as a club.
Well done, Governors. Then we have Michael 2, Castletown 4.
Yes, and haven't got Michael's goal scorer, so if you can text us through, please. 166 177. But for Castletown, Danny Lane with 2 again, Connor Thompson with 1, and Tom Moore got the other goal.
Then we have Braddon 4, Paul Rose 3.
Yeah, and 3-1 to Paul Rose at half time. Haven't got Paul Rose's goal scorers, so if you could please text us through 166 177. But I wonder where he's been, and he's done me proud today. Mm-hmm. My old mate, Nick Harvey, he's got a hat trick today, so well done, Nick. And Paul Ramsden there, Paul. Held in his nerve, shall I say, penalty it was, stepped up and put it past, and whether it was the winner I don't know, but if it was, I think Paul should retire now because he can rest on that one. But no, well done, Paul.
That's a good comeback. That, what would that half time talk have been in Braddon's changing room?
Well, I don't know really, because it's very difficult, because Paul Rose, you look at the league table, Paul Rose are 5th and Braddon are 10th. So Paul Rose were probably expected to win this one. And, you know, Paul Rose last week, great performances. And when you look at Owen Canepper scoring plenty of goals, then you just thought to yourself, well, they're going to win this one. But Braddon has showed good character. And I watched them recently against Onken. And even though Onken beat them, Braddon showed, you know, a bit of steel in them. And changing team, and with Nick coming back in today, has helped things. And that climbs them up the table a little bit. Because Athletic's still on the 2 points, but now Braddon have got 3.
Always like a surprise result.
Yes.
Then we have Onken 3, Malou 1.
Now, whether that was a surprise result or not, because Matthew Pardew got the goal for Malou and gave Malou the lead 1-0.
Michael Pardo, I think.
Pardo, sorry. But then for Onken, it was James Lees who got 2. Josh Kenyatt got the other one. A lot of young players out today for Onken. They held the nerve. They showed some steel. Mm-hmm. And they've got the 3 points. So now when you look at the league table again, Paul Rose now sort of dropped down a little bit because they were on 9, the same as Onken. But Onken suddenly are on 12. St John's move up on 12 points. Malou are only on 10. And Foxdale, their result today was they got beat 4-1. So Foxdale are on 12. So there's 3 teams there on 12 points. So a right good battle going on.
It's fast math. It's like Rain Man. Then we have Douglas and District 4, Foxdale 1.
What a result that is. I think Dave Matheson will be chuffed to bits with that one.
Lots of these today.
Yeah, Castan Lazarot got 2. Dan Robson got 1. Sam Tipper got the other. 0-0 at half-time. So all the goals scored in the second half at the bowl. Aaron Castain got the goal for Foxdale.
Then we have Douglas Athletic 0, St John's 7.
7-0, great result for Douglas Athletic. Sorry, for St John's against Douglas Athletic. Callum Taggart on the score sheet again for 2. But he's outdone by a strike partner today. Kian Brock, he got 4. Mm. Callum got 4 last time, but Kian's in good form. And it's quite interesting, Reid, because, you know, I worked with a couple of the St John's players and I just said to him, you know, last season about Kian, good player, came from Laxey and just didn't quite happen, combination and bits and bobs. But now he seems to have it full on, scoring plenty of goals. He's helping St John's where they are in the league, and with Callum alongside him, I think he's learning off one of the better players around to teach it, and it's working well. 6 goals between the two of them. Dean Lees it was who got the other one.
Sign of a good player, that, someone who can learn off someone who's a bit better than them.
I think you have to, and I think I said it at lunchtime, I think Callum's enjoying his football more because he was player manager and there's a bit more pressure on that, and you're maybe not concentrating on your game when you should be. But at the moment, he scored 4 in his last game, 2 today. So it's going well for him. And as I say, Kian seems to be benefiting from that form.
Good. Moving on to Combi 1, we have Ayr 1, Ramsey 2.
Matthew Jaunty it was who got the goal for Ayr. Ramsey 2-0 up at half time. Haven't got Ramsey's goal scorers. So again, if you could text us through 166 177.
Then a tough match from around. They lost to Rushen 9-1.
Yeah, Rushen are one of the top sides in the Candlelife Combination 1. 5-1 at half-time. An own goal for Rushen. Ryan Crawley got 3. Andrew Blake got 2. Andrew Baker got a goal. We've got Christoph Lazidas, I think it is. Charlie McIntyre got 1 on his debut. So well done, Charlie. And as I say, that own goal. So 9-1 in the end.
Well done reading my writing there.
No, it's good.
Just it's good. Staring at it, just like, what? Then we have Douglas High School Old Boys 7, Douglas Royal 0.
That's a great result, that, for Douglas High School Old Boys, because Old Boys 5th in the league. Douglas Royal just behind them in 6th. 2 points difference between them up until today. and Royal had a game in hand. So well done. And that man, Wolfie, Mark Wolfenden, in the combination today, he got three. Johnny Gartland got one. Dean France got a goal. Dean Stockdale and Zach Watterson. So a good performance there by the Blues.
And are we missing a score for Ramsey Youth Centre versus Peel?
We are. Okay. I haven't got that one through. And actually, I think I've just got a message through now. Well done, Colin. Got two messages. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys 3, Peel 1. For Peel, it was Daniel Lace. Haven't got Ramsey Youth Centre's goal scorers. And well done to Karen Holzall for the Paul Rose goal scorers. Joe Canapa got two. Darren Flanagan got one. And Owen Canapa this time got sent off. So that's possibly what cost Paul Rose. But take nothing away from Braddon. That's a good result.
Then we have in Combi 2, Jim's 5, Governors Athletic 3.
Yeah, I haven't got Jim's goal scorers, but for Governors Athletic, Darren Dooley with one, and Alex Blakely got a goal, and Sam Turton, you'll know Sam.
Who, Sam Turton.
Yeah, for Alaman well Newspapers, Sam. A 35-yarder. So Sam's not a bad footballer, yeah. Actually, so he's belted one, and evidently the Jim's players just looked at it and thought, he's not going to score from here, and boomed it straight in.
Watch
so
me.
Well done, Sam, and Jim's players stunned.
Excellent. Then we have Castletown 3, Michael 2.
Yeah, Fingal Watterson with 2 for Castletown. Aidan Sansby got the other one. I haven't got Michael's goal scorers.
Then Paul Rose 2, Braddon 1.
Yeah, that's all the information I've got on that one.
And we're missing the score for Malou versus Onken.
I've got that one in. Thanks, Brian Callow, for the score. It was Malou 2, Onken 6. And got no goal scorers for that.
And then finally, we have Foxdale 4, Douglas and District 5.
Game and a half, this one. And no doubt about it, the standout player for D&D was Daniel Stewart Clegg. He got 4. Chris Aspen got his first goal for the club. So well done to him. Douglas and District's first win. So credit to them. And two big results for, you know, both teams, first team and combi for D&D. For Foxdale, Callum Wade got 2. Ross Christie got a goal and Dean Bettridge got the last one. So 5-4 to D&D.
And what have we got coming up tomorrow in the women's and the masters?
Good question. I might have any fixtures with me, but we've got 3 games for the women. And the thing is now we're coming up to the halfway stage on grass. Mm-hmm. And once the halfway stage is completed, then we go into the Floodlit Cup, which is 2 games played at the bowl. We're going to have 1 game sometimes on a Friday, 1 on a Sunday as well at 5 o'clock. So there's plenty to play for. But tomorrow we've got Onken against Corinthians. Now, this has been moved to the bowl. We lost one of the Masters games and Onken Stadium, just to protect it, they put up new goalposts and that this week. So there's a bit of foot traffic going on there. So that's going to be played at the bowl at 2 o'clock. Castletown against Union Mills should be a good game in that one. Castletown, I would predict to win that. Colby against Peel, well, it's going to be a really tough game. Peel are the standout side, I've said it so far this year. They're, you know, scoring plenty. They're winning the games, and that's what it's about. So Douglas Royal and Corinthians is the week after, and then we'll have a better idea where that one's going. But the Floodlit Cup's always interesting because it's on the bowl, lesser time, 35 minutes each way, and see if there's any shocks in that.
And a good win, another good win for FC Isle of Man today.
Superb. There's all sorts of rows going on about who scored. And well, not nice rows.
Excellent.
Nice rows. So it's...
Fill us in on the goss.
It's all nice. You know, Sean Doyle got 2, possibly. Jack McVeigh might have got 1. And Dan Simpson might have got 1. By all accounts, Sean Doyle got them all. So he got all 4 goals. So we'll get that checked. It's so... hard. Sometimes you're watching a game and you think someone else has scored.
Yeah.
But we've got some goal scorers come through, and thanks to Paul Hatton, Marker United's goal scorers was Sam Greasley with 1. Owen Hurt, who's just transferred from Maroun to Michael, he got the second one. And also just another goal scorer coming in. It's Paul Rose Combi scorers. Spud Watterson with 1 and David Priestnell got the other one. So that sort of wraps it up on that.
Fantastic stuff. Well, thank you very much, Tony Meffin. Are you out partying tonight?
No, not tonight. Mum's coming out for tea, actually, because Mum's just had a special birthday and unfortunately lost a cat on the same week. So we scuppered
emotions.
Everything. And but tonight, yeah. And then next week, I think we might be out, aren't we? Me, thee, and the sports team, if you can.
I think I'm washing my hair that night. Sorry.
I can't wash mine.
None left. Anyway, thank you very much, Tony Meffin.
My pleasure.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
I did it again. That new jingle every time. Okay, let's move on to rugby. So we have Ramsey 121, Southern Nomads 0. Douglas Celts 31, Vagabonds 5. Vaggers Ladies 12, Lee 12. And in the bowl we have Vikings 31, Castletowns 12. And the Ramsey B Emerging Nomads game that has been postponed. But to tell you more, Dave Christian should be on the line. How are you, Dave?
Very well, thanks, Rick.
Excellent stuff. So, where would you like to start today?
I think probably with the ladies off Ireland would probably be the best place. It's their first game of the season. They've been pretty much out of action for about 18 months. I think they had that friendly game with the Guernsey. And they were, of course, playing in the domestic competition as well, but playing alongside the men, which meant that we had to have restricted contact rules. So it's not really been a good 18 months for them. And then to top it all, in the run-up to this match, the first game for first league match for 18 months, there have been a handful of COVID cases at the Vagabond squad. So skipper Lauren Ellison had some selection issues, especially in the forwards this week, and going to somewhere like Lee, which are renowned for having a big pack of forwards, she wasn't overly confident, I don't think, going forward. Actually, Lauren's a very confident person by normal, but she was perhaps less confident than she normally is, I suspect. Coming back with 2 points from a 12-12 draw, it probably wasn't what she hoped for, but I suspect she'll be happy when she's coming home with that. The centre, Jules Harrison, got two tries today, with Sammy McDonald converting one, and that was where their scores came from. The draw actually gives them, I think, third place in the table, but that's only temporary. They've only been one round of matches so far, and the rest of the teams play on a Sunday in England, so Vaggers get their games out of the way with on a Saturday, and that can give them a lofty league position sometimes, but it's only for 24 hours or so. 12-12. Lauren, I was talking to her last night. She was obviously really excited that she was able to get away and that the team could get playing again. But like I said, at the same time, she knew they were a little bit light in the forwards. Corinna Daly, normally at number eight, getting them go forward from the base of the scrum. Corinna's had to fill in at prop. And I think the veteran Fran Hunt was back for this game. Not sure how her knees will last, and Lauren said she didn't really mind last night as long as they lasted 80 minutes. She wasn't particularly bothered about it, but I know Fran's been an immense player for them over the years, and it's just great to see her back in the lineup, even if it is only temporary, to get through this illness problem. The next game is a home match against Littleborough on the 24th of October. That's in 2 weeks' time. And hopefully we'll be there to cover that one for Saturday Live, and may see them pick up a win in that match.
Fantastic stuff.
Turning domestically, we've got obviously the Ravenscroft Manx Trophy. Ramsey put 64 past Vagabonds last week, which everybody thought was a big score. But today, 121 against Southern Nomads. Now, I've got to be fair to Nomads. There's been a dose of man flu, I'm going to call it, but the Murren, the Lurgy, but whatever your name for it normally is. That's gone through the squad, and they were only able to get one side out, which is why the Emerging Nomads game was cancelled. Postponed, sorry. But Nomads have turned up with what they had. It wasn't necessarily a full-strength first team, and that became immediately obvious. Ramsey were off the blocks really quick. They were, I think the first try came after just 3 minutes. The final tally, though, was Brandon Atchison with five tries. He got a hat-trick last week, so he's had eight so far in two games. His opposite wing, Pete Frankwick, had a hat-trick. And there were two apiece for Kieran Neal and Dave Keenan, and single tries for Matt Meekin, Callum Clegg, Dan Bomwick and Adam Dunlop. The big point scorer of the day, though, was Dan Richmond, the scrum half. He got two tries and also kicked 13 conversions, which gave him a personal tally of 36 points, which was pretty amazing stuff. But, like I said, to be fair to Nomads, they weren't necessarily at full strength. Fair play to them for actually turning up with what they had, but you know, I don't think we can necessarily read too much into that scoreline. We'll see next week, in fact, Southern Nomads play Douglas Celts in a rearranged game, and that'll give us a better indication, perhaps, if their players are fit again after that bout of illness. in the other Manx Trophy
game. Douglas Kelts. Sorry, did that game start? Was that later on, that game?
The Douglas Kelts match, yeah. 2:15 kickoff. The Ramsey game kicked off at 2 o'clock. The Kelts game against the Bonds of Portishead, it was their first outing. They hadn't played so far this season. Their match against Southern Nomads due to take place last week. We had to postpone because Douglas was short-handed. I think there might be a touch of illness there too. But their first outing today, they beat Vagabonds 31-5 at Portishead. Joe Lowe got the consolation try for Vagabonds, and unfortunately nobody from Douglas has given me any of their details, so I can't mention them. The big game, I think, could well be on the 24th, though, when Douglas meet Ramsey. They're the two unbeaten sides, and perhaps looking at the form with that win for Ramsey at Vagabonds, the big win against Nomads, and then Kelts beating Vagabonds, it could well be that Ramsey-Douglas-Kelts game on the 24th that will give us an indication which way this particular competition's going to go. And the final game of the day was in the Ravenscroft Manx Bowl, Western Vikings and Castletown. Vikings first out of the season. Sam Tarpey and Jack Goodwin went in for Vikings' first half tries. Harry Goodwin converted one for a 12-0 lead. Connor Stevens extended the lead in the second half, but Jack Goodwin then picked up a yellow card and Castletown got back into the game. Kunal Patel and Kyle Martin both went in for tries. Martin converted one and that reduced the lead to just 5 points at 17-12. As soon as Vikings got back to a full complement, though, they forged clear. Connor Stevens picked up his second of the game. There was also a try from Brian Skillicorn, and both of those were converted by Gary Stevenson. So well done, Western Vikings, off the mark in their first game.
Excellent reporting, as always, Dave, the fountain of all rugby knowledge on the Isle of Man. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye for now. And we're going to stick with rugby just for a second, going back to the Vaggers ladies team. And they actually have exciting news after a good start to the season. The team has a brand new sponsor that is solely for them. No sharing. And I had the pleasure of speaking to Vaggers players Lauren Ellison, who Dave mentioned just before, and Sophie Henry yesterday.
So big thank you and big shout out to Much Better, who Woo. Are now our Vagabonds Ladies sponsor. They would simply without them, we couldn't have been in this UK league because due to one thing or another, we've lost a lot of our funding. So without their sponsorship, we would not be going away. So.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Like, thank you very much for Much Better. We also have to say thank you to Emily Webb from the Vagabonds. Obviously, she's part of the Much Better team and she connected us both together.
And just finally, I mean, I guess that kind of highlights just how important it is for women's sports, well, women's teams, when there's only one on the island, to get support.
Yeah.
Because literally, otherwise, you're going to really struggle to be able to play the sport that you love.
It 100%. Is, yeah. Without that sponsorship, without that backing from people who do want to support us, like speaking with Much Better, they share a lot of the same values as we do. Teamwork, creativity, commitment. I think the fact that we have continued training for the last 2 years, worked in and played against men, it shows our commitment. And I know that's something Much Better have similar values in. So they recognise that in us and we need their support is just invaluable 100%. Throughout this season.
And obviously going away tomorrow, we'll wear their logo on our playing shirts and we'll wear it with pride and yeah.
Lovely. And just finally, any women who are listening to this and would like to give rugby a go, yes, how would you encourage them to come down?
So we have training on Mondays and Wednesdays up at Bala Fletcher Vagabond, so it's up by the hospital up that way. It's 6:30 till 7:30, 8-ish. Usually our new coach, Kyle, shout out to him too. Woo. He depends how well we're doing in the session, how long he makes us stay for. But we've got a Facebook page as well. So if you just search Vagabonds Ladies Rugby, you can send a message and have a look on there. We've also posted all of our fixtures for the upcoming season. So if you think, you know what, I might just go and have a look, have a see. Because I will say, if you've watched men's rugby before, it is quite different from that. It's not a similar... Well, obviously, it's a similar game.
That's the big thing, isn't it? Where women worry, not just women, but women can worry about getting injured and think that rugby is this something that it might not be.
Yeah. Massively. And I think I played basketball with you last night, Ree, and I got an injury from that, and I got a whack to the face playing basketball, whereas probably tomorrow I'll come away scot-free and we'll have these things. It's just about being safe and doing things in the right way. So if it's something you're thinking about, I definitely recommend coming to have a look at a game. We've got a home game in, it'll be 2 or 3 weekends, can't remember the exact date, but come and have a look there and see what you think. And I promise we are not all scary. We are lovely. And come and give it a go.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Yeah, come give it a go. We're all welcoming and there's lots of fun to be had. So, yeah.
The lovely Lauren Ellison and Sophie Henry there. Great news about more sponsorship for any of the women's teams on the island. That's excellent news. Well done to all you rugby players who were playing under the weather. Under the not-so-nice weather today. Good stuff.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Netball now, and the Manx Rams took on UAE earlier today in the Netball Europe Open Challenge, and it was a tough game. I just finished watching it before the show, actually. It didn't fall in our favour this time. The final score was UAE 59, Isle of Man 52. And they're currently playing Gibraltar as we speak, and I can't give you an update at the moment because I'm not allowed my phone in the studio. But hopefully they've gone into goldfish mode and forgotten about the loss earlier today. But it should be another tough one, as there's a good rivalry between the Isle of Man and Gibraltar. The first time they met, Gibraltar won. And then the second time, the Isle of Man won. So Rams definitely have it in them to come away with the win. And if you want to watch any of the Manx Rams games back, they're all being streamed live, which is great. The quality is fantastic. There's commentators. And you can find the link either on the Isle of Man Netball Facebook page, or you can find it on my Facebook page if we're friends. Moving on to athletics now, and it's that time of the year again where we decide it's cold and muddy outside. I think I'll go for a run. Yes, it is cross-country season time, but there's been loads of awesome things happening in the athletics world. And I'm going to let David Griffiths from Manx Athletics tell you more, because he just knows everything about athletics. We had a really nice chat yesterday, so here's David for you. David Griffiths is in the studio. How are you, David?
I'm very well, thanks, Rhianne. Yeah, very busy at the moment.
Well, I've seen on your Isle of Man Athletics Facebook page, or Manx Athletics Facebook page, it's brilliant, if I do say so myself.
Well, thanks very much. Yeah, it's nice to know that people appreciate it. It's hard work, but it's a really enjoyable page to do. And I'm actually, you know, it was quite an honour a couple of years ago to be asked by the family of the late Murray Lambden to take that page on. And it's a delight to do it.
Right, we have a lot to talk about. Let's start with the Cross Country League.
Right. Well, yes, the countdown is really on to the Cross Country League, which is sponsored by Law Trust for, I think, the third season. We're obviously really grateful to them for their support. There are four rounds to the series. The first one is on Sunday, the 17th of October, which is a week on Sunday. And then the rounds take place more or less on a monthly basis. We've got one on the 7th of November, the third round's on the 5th of December, and the fourth and final one, which also incorporates the cross-country championships, is after the new year. That's on the 16th of January. Now, basically, one big change this year, and it's largely because of the big competitor numbers, is that we've gone to an online entry system this year. Up until last year, our entry team were basically having to deal with something like 300 pieces of paper in the last couple of days before the start of the season, and it's just become unfair, really, on them. So, and I think it's the way of the world now. I think everything's going online. But the one thing that people have to bear in mind is that there is a closing date, because we have to collate the entries, and we have to collate the payments with those as well. That's going to take a little bit of work. So the closing date for entries is next Wednesday at midnight. So I think we've had something like 110 entries so far. We're expecting something like 250. So there's obviously quite a lot of people haven't entered yet. So I would urge everyone to go onto the Isle of Man Athletics website. And there are also links via the Isle of Man Athletics Facebook page as well. All the details on how to enter, how to pay, everything basically you need to know about cross country will be on the Isle of Man Athletics website. So if you haven't entered already, please log on to that, have a look at the information, and get your entry in, please.
Good stuff. Let's move on to Sarah Webster, who you have described as a champion who has triumphed over adversity recently.
Yeah, I thought quite long and hard actually about the title for that article, and I thought that was quite an appropriate one, really. I mean, Sarah has, over the last couple of years, had to contend with, obviously, in the world that we've been living in for the last 18 months, certainly, she's had to contend with so many obstacles that just couldn't have been predicted. And probably no marathon runner, or probably any Isleman athlete who's been attempting to get to the Commonwealth Games, has had to deal with all the, you know, the cancellations and so on. I think with any athletics discipline, particularly with marathon running, you really have to have you have to have the date of your event in mind a long way in advance so that you can plan, you know, when you do the hard training blocks, you know, when you taper down to an event. When the event is taken away at short notice, all that work that you've done and all the planning basically, you know, is taken away from you. And with the uncertainty of when it's going to be rearranged, do you continue with the hard training, or do you take a break then and gamble that, you know, the race isn't going to be too soon? You know, and that's happened to Sarah twice over the last year or so, and it's just incredible the way that she's come through it, and she's achieved a performance the like of which she did on Sunday, 2 hours 41 minutes 24 seconds, I think,
which is a Commonwealth Games marathon consideration time.
It is, yeah. I think we have to be careful to say that Sarah hasn't actually been selected yet. The first wave of selections, the first of three, I should say, was quite recently, and Ollie Lockley and Sarah Aston were the two who have been confirmed so far. Hopefully, in the second wave, Sarah will, you know, Sarah will get the nod. As I say, you know, we can't take anything for granted, but you know, she's certainly in my opinion, and I think everyone's opinion, she certainly deserves selection for the hard work that she's done and the standard she's achieved.
So that was in London, but there was also Manxies representing in Chester as well at the Chester Marathon.
Yeah, we had a lot of marathon runners in action at the weekend, both in London and in Chester. I haven't got the exact details in front of me, but I think in London, I think there was something like somewhere between 15 and 20 athletes. Oren Smith was one who produced an outstanding performance, 2 hours 32, which was a personal best, and that's only a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, I think, after doing this six day Dragon's Back mountain race in Wales.
Yeah, which, I spoke to him about that. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think Oren, one of the real impressive things about Oren is how quickly he recovers from these major events, and to run a 2 hour 32 marathon so soon after that is an incredible achievement, really. And then we also had Christian Varley, I think was it 2 hours 34, I think, in Chester.
Correct.
Which again,
fifth, you know, overall, first veteran.
Yeah, that's right. Christian, of course, is another man who is no stranger to doing huge amounts of mileage after his 19 marathons in 19 days last year. But he's not just an endurance athlete. You know, he's obviously got plenty of speed as well. And that was a cracking performance by him too.
Well, those are all my notes. Is there anything you would like to add that I've missed?
No, not really. I think possibly going back to the cross country, we should maybe mention that I think one of the great attractions of cross country is that it's a really inclusive sport. It's open to all age groups from under 9 upwards. 7 years of age on the day of the race is the youngest age that can compete in the under 9 age group. But you don't have to be a cross country specialist. A lot of people use cross country for conditioning, for road races, or, you know, other disciplines they do. Quite often we'll get middle distance track runners who take advantage of the short course race, which is about 3.5 kilometres, you know, conditioning over the winter. And there are also quite a number of championships away in the UK, which our athletes tend to travel to in numbers. There's the Lancashire Cross Country in January, the Northern Counties at the end of January, the English National at the end of February. And for those people who excel at the Lancashire Championships, they have an opportunity to be selected to represent Lancashire at the Intercounties Championship, which is on the 12th of March. So there's a really clear pathway for, like, our better athletes to progress through to UK competition and hopefully to do well in that. And, you know, historically, we've had some great performances over the years, and I'm sure it'll happen again.
David Griffiths there. Lovely chat with him the other day. Sorry, I got the netball wrong. Rams are taking on Gibraltar at 7 o'clock Gibraltar time, so in 8 minutes' time, because apparently I just can't get my head around time differences of, Well, just in general, because it's only an hour and I got it wrong. So yes, you can watch that match live via the link on the Isle of Man Netball Facebook page. So I'm sure the girls would appreciate it if you'd like to give them a cheer from home. Now, have you heard of a sport called pickleball? Founded in the 1960s in America, it's seen a recent surge in popularity, and it's also been going on in the Isle of Man over the past few years. So tomorrow is actually World Pickleball Day, and residents are being invited to give it a go at the NSC between 2 and 4 tomorrow. Chris Reynolds is the Isle of Man Northwest representative for the sport. Rob Pritchard caught up with him this week to find out what exactly pickleball is.
Well, pickleball was invented in America in the 60s, played on a badminton court in the UK. You know, they play singles or doubles, and it's a bit like short tennis with a lowered net, got a plastic ball the same size as a tennis ball. And Mike Bushell from BBC Sport did a feature on it and described it as like playing table tennis standing on the table, which is a really apt description. It really tells you all about it. You can watch it on YouTube and see how it's played, and actually Andy Roddick and Andre Agassi, there's a feature on them on YouTube playing the game. So it's become quite famous, really, and it's probably will become an Olympic sport within the next 10 or 15 years, I would have thought. The Isle of Man is represented in the World Pickleball Association, and we were the 55th country to join that. And there's a World Championship next year, and so on and so forth. So originally, to the Isle of Man, it was brought by Roberta Cannell and Irene Taggart, who worked at the NSC. And through Leslie, they managed to procure some paddles, which are the bats, and some balls. And they started off in a thing called the Swing of Things, which is on a Monday and a Wednesday for people to get back to sport after they've retired or when they've got time to do that. So that's on the Monday and a Wednesday morning. And they introduced it to that community. And people played that along with badminton, squash, and table tennis, which is also available. It's a strategic game. And it's probably the only game where the server's at a disadvantage because it can't be volleyed until it's been struck three times. And whoever can get to the net first would be the receiver, because the server hits the ball the first time, the receiver returns it, and then can go in and collect a third return from the server itself. So it's a strategic game, and you can only score on your own service, and it's first to 11. And if you get to 10 all, it's 2 points clear to win.
It has had a bit of a surge, as it were, in the US, for example. What do you think is making it so popular?
Well, I think it's for people. I mean, a lot of people will describe it, you know, they stop playing tennis because they get older and the racket's too heavy, whereas this is a lot lighter and less strain on the joints, and you're only covering a badminton court instead of a tennis court, so it's easier for the older people to play. And the majority of people who are playing the sport are above a certain age of probably 60. But in America, there are professional players who are on a circuit. And so it's very, very big in that respect as well.
In terms of the Isle of Man, where do you hope that the Isle of Man can be in the international side of things in pickleball in the years to come?
Well, our first club has been formed called the Ellen Bannon Club, and that's been formed, and they play at one of the schools on a Monday night, and people can join in that if they choose to do that. And what we hope is that we'll be able to perhaps go away and play against teams in the UK, and the teams from the UK come to the Isle of Man as well, and we'll grow it that way. That's the way most sports are grown, I think, on the island.
What's the uptake been like on the Isle of Man?
I think what happens as we bring new people in, when I started to play about just over 2 years ago, I invited the people I used to play squash against, and when a badminton player arrives or a table tennis player arrives, they will invite people who they think might enjoy the game as well. So it's grown quite quickly. So originally there were two courts on a Monday morning and five badminton courts, and now there's five or six pickleball courts and two or three badminton courts. So it's a total change and a swing away from it.
If people are interested in getting involved, when and where do you meet up? How can they get involved?
Well, on Sunday, as I say, it's World Pickleball Day. Anybody can come and try it between 2 and 4 o'clock at the NSC. But on Mondays, between 9:30 and 11:30, it's played at the NSC. Wednesdays, between 10 and 12 at the NSC. And Fridays, there's another session between 10 and 12 at the NSC.
Chris Reynolds talking to Rob Pritchard there. Lovely chat. I'll be down playing basketball around that time tomorrow afternoon, so hopefully I'll see a load of you playing pickleball and loving it. Anyway, that's all the sport I've got for you for now, so thank you very much for tuning in and keeping me company. If you have any sports news that I've missed, do get in touch and let me know by emailing the newsroom on newsroom@manxradio.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well done to all of you who competed today, especially outside. Go get go get wrapped up warm and get cosy. And best of luck to all of you competing in various sporting endeavours before next weekend. Play hard and play safe. Have a lovely one, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Good night.